Well, good evening, everyone. If you would grab a hymn book and stand, let's turn to page 245. 245, we're going to sing the song that the ladies were just playing, His Sheep and Mine. How many of y'all know this song? All right, well, if you don't know, we're going to learn it tonight. In God's green pastures feeding. In God's green pastures feeding by His cool waters lie. Soft in the evening walk my Lord and I. All the sheep of His pastures fare so wondrously fine. His sheep am I. Waters cool, pastures green. In the evening walk my Lord and I. Dark the night, rough the way. Step by step, my Lord and I. Let's sing it again. In God's green pastures feeding by His cool waters lie. Soft in the evening walk my Lord and I. All the sheep of His pastures fare so wondrously fine. His sheep am I. Waters cool, pastures green. In the evening walk my Lord and I. Dark the night, rough the way. Step by step, my Lord and I.
Amen.
Good singing.
Well, that was the first one for me. That's okay. A pretty song. Well, it's good to see you back tonight. Trust the Lord gave you a pleasant afternoon, a restful afternoon. And we're ready to worship the Lord. The John family is with us, and we're looking forward to hearing about their ministry to India and what the Lord is doing for them. Brother John, I'm going to let you share as well about your father-in-law and all that going on with that. But it's great to be back tonight. Trust the Lord's going to meet with us in a tremendous way. And let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other tonight. Amen.
All right, as you make your way back to your seats, let's also turn to page 246. 246. Higher ground, 246. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. On the last, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Page 96. And then we're going to sing page 78 right after that. That's the wrong song. Excuse me. You know, 8 and 6 look very similar. All right. Hark, 'tis the shepherd voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. On the last, out in the desert hear their cry. Out on the mountain wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Good singing. Let's turn to page 78. 78. Amen. Sing with me. We're going to sing the first and last of this one as well. Sing the wondrous one, Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Don't forget to sing and shout that victory on the last. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Good singing. You can be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll receive this evening's offering. And there's one, there's two. Bingo, bingo. Very good. Very good. All righty. Let's see here. Got a special speaker, Brother John's tonight. Looking forward to hearing him. Ladies' brunch is going to be Tuesday at the Cracker Barrel, 10 o'clock. It's the same place, just a little bit different day, if I understand everything right. The home builders and the pastor's class are both going to have activities on the 19th. Ladies' fellowship on the 22nd. The Metro Saints Fellowship is going to be August 24th, and it's going to be our last one for the year. And if you haven't attended one of those yet, hey, it would be a good one to attend. We're going to take a break through the fall for all the just busyness that fall gets us into. And we'll pick up again next year as far as that goes. On the, we do need some faithful men who will say, yes, I will stand by a door and smile at them and shake their hand and mean it and say, welcome, come in. And Daniel's sitting there looking at me like, oh, you want me to do it? He's almost, just not quite, just you're that far away, just that far away. So anyway, but we also on the back welcome center, we have a, we're putting out some feelers to see if anybody is interested in going to Glen Rose to the Promise. Is that what it was? The promise? There we go. The Promise. And it's not till later on in the year, but I don't have the date in front of me, but we're just trying to see. Sir? October 6th. There we go. We're just trying to see if we have interest in it. So that's what that's all about. If you are interested in going to Glen Rose to see the Promise, please sign up back there on the back. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, thank you for a good day we've had so far. Lord, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Lord, thank you that you can use the foolish things. Lord, appreciate it. Lord, thank you for the time of year that we're here. We are in the middle of the hot part of the year, and we have some coolness coming up. And thank you for the rain. Lord, we're asking to be at this offering you're about to receive. Be at the gift and the giver, Lord. Love you, Lord. And just momentarily, Brother John's comes. Lord, you give him power and give him liberty to say what you want him to say. And please prepare our hearts to receive it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
It is good to have the John family with us, but I did want to remind you that tomorrow morning, Erlene Hasty is going to be having neck surgery somewhere around noon, 12:30-ish. So please, it'll be at, I guess that's Baylor Trophy Club. And so please be in prayer for her and for the surgical team and all that they can accomplish exactly what they need to do. Did have word from Dan a little bit ago. I'm sure some of you heard from Dan Vaught as well, that they had four doctors look at at Beth at the emergency room and determined that there was nothing unusual going on, but just some pain from the generated by the healing process, something going on there. And so they were to maybe back at the house by now. But we're grateful that there was nothing further going on with Miss Beth this afternoon. I'm sure there's some other things, but just bring a prayer for your church family, for the blessings that God always is to His children. I'm going to ask Brother John to come, Charles John, missionary to India, brother.
Good evening to all of you. It's a great honor and privilege for me to come here and present the work and preach from the Word of God. I take this opportunity to thank Pastor for giving me this time. Let me introduce myself. My name is Charles John. I am here with my wife, Becky. God has blessed us with two daughters. The elder one is Christina. She is in 10th grade and she is 15 years old. And my younger daughter is Betsy. She is with the Lord now. I would like to say a few words about my younger daughter, Betsy. We started our deputation together on December 16, 2016. When we completed 1 month, Betsy went to her eternal home to be with her Savior, whom she loved very much. She was our sweet little angel, not only ours, but also to the people whom she came in contact with her. She received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior on January 5th, 2016. And she was baptized on July 31st, 2016. Though she was 11 years old, she had a great hope in the Lord. She wrote in her personal diary, "If you are in heaven, you can always be happy with Jesus."
Amen.
As she wrote, she is in heaven and she is happy with Jesus.
Amen.
She also wrote 3 tips. I would like to read them to you. Tip number 1, since God is love, we must love one another.
Yes.
Tip number 2, smile makes everybody happy and better. We must smile.
Amen.
And third tip is happy is a special thing in your life and be happy always. Betsy was full of love, compassion, happy, helping, energetic, obedient and a respectful person. She was very excited about coming to America. She enjoyed her 9 months life in America very much. Many times we had to drag her to home after the church service because she was always playing and talking with her friends and church family. She was a prayer warrior too. She used to write her prayer requests and used to pray for those requests every day. She was already started praying for our new mission field in India. And she was very excited about going back to India and she had a great burden for the lost people in our country. Few days before she passed away from this world, she wrote in her sketchbook, "Jesus said, I need you to share the gospel and my love." So our daughter had a great desire to serve the Lord, but it was pleased the Lord to take her to home. Though she was 11 years old, she did what Jesus told her to do. We are very proud of our daughter and her testimony. Please continue to pray for my wife, daughter and me, so that God may give us enough grace and strength at this difficult time in our life. Also, on February 27th, 2017, my elder brother, who was 48 years old, also went to his eternal home. He was suffering from kidney cancer for a couple of months. Then it was pleased the Lord to give him freedom from all kinds of suffering and pain. He survived by his wife and 3 children, please remember that family also in your prayer. These 2 incidences happened in our family was really a great loss and a terrible trial. But when we go through the valley of tears and pains, we could experience God's peace which passeth all understanding. I could hear the Lord's voice saying to me, "Fear not, son, I am with you." Yes, He was with us and He strengthened us to continue the work we started. And He is giving His grace abundantly every day. He is helping us to go through it. In all these things, He never let us down. And His grace is sufficient to continue to live. I am the son-in-law of Brother Sam and Annie Varghese, one of your missionary to India. They have been missionary to India for the last 41 years. God used them to establish many churches in the state of Rajasthan and God is still using them. Just few minutes before I got a message from India that his father passed away from this world and he was 94 years old. Please remember Brother Sam Varghese and family and and my family too. I was born and grew up in Kerala, which is the southern state of India. I was raised in a Baptist family by godly parents. I thank God for that. When I was 10 years old, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. That time I was attending a vacation Bible school. I heard God speaking to me through His Word. That day I realized that I am a sinner and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I surrendered my life to my Lord that day. When I was 15 years old, I obeyed the commandment of Jesus by being baptized. My whole family also received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior too. In June 2002, God called me to the ministry. When God called me to the ministry, I was working in a secular job in a multinational company in Mumbai, which is the financial capital of India. When God called me to the ministry, I resigned my job and went to Rajasthan to help Brother Sam Varghese in his church and the school ministry. We continued in this ministry for the last 14 years, and I had the privilege to pastor the church in Bilwara, Rajasthan, for the last 6 years. This is our church in Rajasthan. This is our school building in Rajasthan. Every day we have a morning chapel service. Every day we sing Christian songs. We make children to recite scripture verses. And we pray in the name of Jesus. 99% students are non-Christians. We are able to do this so far by God's grace. We have been in the US for several months. We have come here for doctrinal training and for a deputation. It has been my privilege to train under my pastor James Lau and his father. Our training part is over. We just started our deputation 6 months before. This is our sending church, Southland Missionary Baptist Church. We will be going back to India as missionaries sent out of Southland Missionary Baptist Church. And this is my first trip to America. I would like to say, I want to bring your attention to some facts about India. India has 29 states and 7 union territories. The states have their own governments, but the union territories are directly governed by the federal government. India is the second largest populous country in the world. India's population is 1.32 billion. That is more than 3 times of the population of America, which means billions of people need Christ in India. I brought some pictures from our country. This is a gas station. This is a pharmacy stores. This is our vegetable market. This is our Walmart. This is fruit market. Here is a woman trying to get water from the tube well. In the state where we were serving the Lord, they get very less rain in a year. So the government dig tube well in the earth and the people go and get out of water from that. And this is the common man's taxi in our country. This is the auto rickshaw, we call it. It's a three-wheeler. Another transportation, mode of transportation is cycle rickshaw. Many children go to schools and many people use it as a for transportation, taxi. Here's a picture of a woman cooking food under the tree outside her home. This is a picture in the countryside. Our country is a very religious country. Religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism and Jainism are all originated from our country. The Christian population is including Catholics is only 2. Catholics, Protestants, Baptists are only 2.3%. Out of this, the Baptists are only 0.25%. 79.8% of the people believe in Hinduism. And they worship 330 million gods and goddesses. And they believe that they all control the whole universe. And also they worship men, animals and creeping things. Here is a woman worshipping cow. Here you eat cow, but in India they worship cow. Killing a cow is a criminal offense. Cow slaughtering is banned in those states which mentioned in red color. They also worship snake and elephant, rat, and also they worship monkey. As it is written in Romans 1:23, they made the glory of uncorruptible God into an image of man, four-footed beast, and creeping things. Islam is the second largest religion in our country, with 14.2% of our country's population. That is approximately 180 million. That is half of the population of America. There are many challenges and obstacles in the evangelism work in our country. Our country is not a free country for Christians. There is no religious freedom in our country. One of the main challenges for evangelism is persecution. There was a time our country welcomed Christian missionaries, but now the situation is totally changed. Christian persecution is increasing day by day. From verbal harassment to hostile feelings, attitudes and actions, Christians in areas with severe religious restrictions pay a heavy price for their faith. Beatings, physical torture, confinement, isolation, rape, severe punishment, imprisonment, slavery, discrimination in education and in employment, and even death are few examples of the persecution Christians experience on a daily basis in our country. This is a picture of Graham Stain and his family. Graham Stain was an Australian missionary. He and his two sons were burnt alive in the state of Orissa in 1999 for the sake of evangelism and the faith. This is another picture of a local pastor who was shot dead 2 weeks before in front of the church in our country. He's a local pastor. The opportunity for spreading the gospel is decreasing day by day. As you can see, it is most important to start the ministry as soon as possible. The present government of India is an anti-Christian government. Hindu radical groups, with the support of the government, are persecuting the Christians all over India. Their main agenda is making India a Hindu country by 2021. They are totally against the gospel work. They call this work as conversion. Many states are introduced a new law called anti-conversion law to bring restrictions for the gospel work. Many pastors and Christian workers are in jail in different places for the sake of evangelism and their faith. And in many states, they force Christians to convert back to Hinduism, and they call it as returning to home. Even though our constitution guarantees the full freedom and propagation of all faith, but this is only on paper. Second challenge for evangelism is language. The constitution of our country recognizes 22 languages as official languages. Believe it or not, there are 122 major languages and 1,599 other languages are spoken in our country. That is, each state in India, people speak more than four and more languages. Bible translation work is still going on in our country because of many languages. In the state where we are being guided to serve the Lord, the people speak Telugu language, which is unknown to us now, even though I know two Indian languages. After going there, we will have to learn that language too. For our daughter, it is compulsory for her education. Our goal is going back to India by summer 2018. If it is God's will, next year, this time we will be in India. We are being guided by God to serve Him in Hyderabad city, Andhra Pradesh, which is one of the southern states of India, by establishing independent Baptist churches, training national men, and starting a school. School is a good medium to communicate the gospel to the unreached people. Hyderabad is the fourth popular city in India. You can compare the population of America. The population of Hyderabad is 9 million. You can compare the population of Hyderabad to New York City. In Hyderabad, only 2.5% of the population claims to be Christians. There is a great need for evangelism in the city and the state where we are going. In Matthew chapter 9:37, Jesus said to His disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that He will send forth the laborers into the harvest." As Jesus said, harvest in India is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Whose responsibility is it to send laborers into the harvest? It is our responsibility. So serving the Lord in India is difficult and challenging. But my family and I are ready to accept these difficulties and challenges with the help of our Lord. I believe that nothing is impossible for our God.
Right.
Whoever may be the Prime Minister or President, but our God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is still on the throne. And Jesus' commandment to us is, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." He also promises us that, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In Romans chapter 10:13, says that, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says that the gospel is offered to all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the Bible is asking four questions to us. But how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? The gospel message will not be taken to the unbeliever until someone is sent to him. Paul said in Romans 1:14, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the Jews, both to the wise and to the unwise." As Paul said, we are debtors. I am debtor to my fellow people in our country. As we are getting ready for Jesus' second coming, millions of people in our country have not heard about Jesus being the Savior of the world. And thousands of people are dying every day without Christ. We accept these challenges. How can you help us? We know that you cannot go to our country because now our country is not allowing any foreign missionaries to come and preach the gospel in our country. But you can share in the spreading of the gospel with us. It is an opportunity to become the partnership in the ministry to India. And I thank and appreciate that this church is already a partner to the partnership. They are already became a partner to the ministry in India. And also, as I said, the harvest is truly plenteous. More laborers we need to send. We covet your prayers and financial support for carrying out the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your decision can change many people's life destination from hell to heaven. and there will be great joy in heaven. My whole family supports me for this great endeavor. Those who are in Facebook, please like our page, Missionary the John's Family. In this way, you can also pray for us, and also you can see our deputation trip on Facebook. Please, before you leave, please take one of our prayer card and keep it together with you and pray for us, so that you can remember always. You can remember whenever you pray, and you can pray for us and our country. May God bless you. Now my wife and daughter will come forward and sing a song. Then I will bring a message to you. Thank you.
We will sing in our language, that is Hindi, and I hope you will understand it. Because wherever we live, we serve the same living God.
Let us turn our Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The writer of this epistle compares here the Christian life to a foot race. Who are running in the race? In this context, the Hebrew believers are running the race. But in today's context, you and I are running the race. It is written for us as a guideline to run our race more efficiently. In chapter 11, we can see a great crowd of witnesses who have been an inspiration to us who are still in the race. The heroes of the faith, which we see them in chapter 11, some of their names are written and some of their names are not written. But in chapter 11, 31 says, they all obtained a good report through their faith in the Lord. They are good examples, and their life was really an encouragement to you and I. They all had to go through great storms, great trials in their life. When we read chapter 11, verse 36 to 39, we can see the depth of the trials they all had gone through. Let's read chapter 11, verse 36 to 38. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. He, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sown as under were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And here we see that all of their faith were tested. The testing of faith is very tough sometimes. My family and I had to face two severe trials in our life. One is the death of our beloved daughter, and second is the death of my elder brother. But in these two, when we go through the valley of the tears and pains, we could see God's grace and we could experience God's peace. God was with us and He is helping us to go through it. The writer of this epistle gives us here three very important tips to those who are still in the race. We also need to run. They all did. The first tip is verse 1. Lay aside, chapter 12 verse 1. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. First, we see here that lay aside every sin, every weight. We know that those who run the marathon race needs to reduce their weight as much as possible. Then only they can run very fast. Nobody runs a race with pants and suits or by putting more weight. Those who run the race had to go through very strict diet and exercises. What is the weight? Whatever does not help in the race is the weight. That we must be lay aside, we must cast aside. In our Christian life, there are certain things which are a stumbling block to our race that we have to lay aside. Then the second thing, we must be put off the sin. Here the writer is not talking about the Adamic sin, but the sin which easily beset us or entangles us. We need to put off the sin and to run the race which God has placed before us. The second tip is, let us run with patience. Verse 1c. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to run our Christian race with patience. Here the word patience does not mean waiting without anxiety, but it means to endure adverse circumstances. There are certain circumstances in our life which force us to quit from the race. For example, in the trials and sufferings. In such occasion, we should not quit from our race, but be patient. We must run with endurance. Let us read James chapter 1 verse 2 and 4. Let us read James chapter 1 verse 2 and 4. 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In this race, we may fall into diverse temptations, diverse trials. But how should we face such temptations and trials, sir? What should be our attitude towards such temptations, sir? The Bible says that we should count it all joy. Why? Because the trying of our faith worketh patience or endurance. We cannot experience patience by joining the church or joining the seminary. But when we go through the trials only, we can experience the patience. That is the reason God allows us to go through the trials. That makes us perfect and matured Christian. Jesus Christ is the supreme example for the endurance. Verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus Christ endured the cross. If we compare Christ's cross to our trials, then our trials are nothing. We know that the cross which Jesus endured was the most painful and most horrible experience. No man ever had gone through such sufferings like Christ. But he endured the cross so that we can also endure such trials. Another example we can see for the enduring the sufferings are the Old Testament prophets and Job. In James chapter 5, verse 5 to 10 to 11, we read that James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. It says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Jesus Christ, Job, and the Old Testament prophets, they are very good example for patience. So let us run with patience. And third tip, verse 2. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let's come back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In this race, we need to looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Many times, we look to our problems and our sufferings, but we need to focus, we need to look unto Jesus instead of looking into us and our problems and our sufferings. In Matthew chapter 14, we see that when Jesus was walking on the sea, Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Then Jesus said to Peter, come. Peter came out of the ship and he started walking to Jesus. But when he saw the great wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. When he started his walk, his focus was on Jesus. So he did not sink. But when he changed his focus from Jesus to the wind, he started sinking. This is what happens in our Christian life too. Many start their walk looking at Jesus, but after some time they change the focus from Jesus to the world. Then they become backslidden, backsliders, and they will not be able to finish the race successfully. When we run our Christian race, our focus always should be on Jesus, not on our problems or anything in this world. Why do we need to focus on Jesus? There are three reasons for we need to focus Jesus. One of the reasons here we see that because He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author and founder of our faith. He is the inspiration for running the race. The founder of our faith is alive. He is the living author and founder of our faith. In this world you can see many religions and philosophies. All the founders or the authors of those religions and philosophies are no more in this world. They all are dead. All their thinking were an utter failure. But the founder of our faith is still living. He wins the victory over death before 2000 years. That is the reason we can look at Jesus for the race. In Psalm 34:5 says, Psalmist says that they looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. Yes, those who looked unto him, always their faces are lightened and their faces were not ashamed. Second reason for looking unto Jesus, He is the finisher of our faith. He is not only the author, He is not only the founder of our faith, but He is the finisher of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. On the cross, Jesus Christ said, it is finished. John chapter 19 verse 30. That was the finishing of His race. These words were a shout of victory of His faith. Our leader of our faith not only started the race, but He finished the race successfully. Since He finished the race, we can also finish the race successfully. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2:20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul says that he does not run the race by looking to Abraham or Moses or any other prophets in the Old Testament. But he says, no doubt, they were a great inspiration for him. But where did he look? He looked unto Jesus. He lived by the faith of Jesus. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. Paul's race was not easy. He had gone through severe trials and storms. But he finished the race because he looked unto Jesus.
Yes.
Like Paul, if we look to Jesus, we can also finish our race. And third reason, we can look unto Jesus. We can fix our eyes on Jesus because He is the forerunner of our faith. He is not only the author and finisher of our faith, but He is also the forerunner of our faith. The word forerunner means to go before us and experience every inch of the way. In Hebrews, let us read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews, let us read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the author, finisher and forerunner of our faith. He did not start the race which we cannot finish. He started the race which we can finish. But we have to keep looking unto Him. Not in this world or not on our problems. Here we see that He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We know that the runners in marathon often experience pain, leg cramps, side ache, etc. Why do they do it? They do it for the joy of winning the crown which is perishable. But we are running the race to get an incorruptible crown. So don't give up our race. Don't get tired and quit. Finish the race. Let's read one more verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery in temperate in all things, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Here we see that Paul says that we are running a race to get an incorruptible crown. The people who run in the marathon, they get a prize which is going to perish, which will perish. But the crown which we are going to get, it is incorruptible. So, when you run, let us run let's run while we look at Jesus and we run our race. Let me ask you one question. How do you run your race? Here we see the three tips which the writer of the author of the book of Hebrews says. First, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Second, let us run with patience. And third, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we run our race with this, by keeping these tips, we can finish our Christian race successfully. Philippians chapter 2 verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, remember that our running is not in vain. Our laboring is not in vain. He is going to reward each one of us. We are going to rejoice on that day. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Consider Him who endured the cross. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Johns. We can have Brother John. Would you come? Brother John. Thank you, Brother Johns. Brother John, would you come and prepare to lead us in a song? Thank you very much. Where should our focus be? We preached on the cross of Christ this morning, and certainly tremendous follow-up this evening. And we can't serve Him if we lose our gaze on Him, on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason, obviously, that we're in this. And thank you, Brother John. Thank you for the presentation of their ministry there in Secunderabad, and trusting that Hyderabad. Secunderabad, Twin Cities, as they're called in India. But wow, 9 million souls there in that city. Amazing. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we ask You, as we would sing, that You be pleased to settle Your Word into our hearts. Lord, I don't know that there might be a need that needs to be dealt with this evening. Certainly, Father, as we think of the need of the harvest to the uttermost parts of the earth, we pray that even in these days You'd be pleased, You, Lord, the Lord of the harvest, to raise up those laborers that You'd see fit to touch, to choose, to anoint for the work that You've given to them. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.
Page 118.
118. Please be in prayer as we say.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
Amen. I was in Hyderabad about 23 years ago. It's interesting that the population of India then was a mere 900 million. And so in those little over 20 years, the population of India has increased, what, 400 million? Yeah, 1.3 now. So in 20-some years, the population of India has increased more than the entire population of the United States of America. And we've been around 200 and some years. It's amazing. And the need is so great. It's such a nation of contrasts. The Hyderabad, Secunderabad area is considered the Silicon Valley of India. A lot of technology, a lot of advancements and progress. But you can be on a street in Hyderabad, and a Mercedes will be parked at the side of the street, and an ox cart going around, and it's such a place of contrast. Wealth, but yes, extreme poverty as well. So please pray for the John family. Pray for their ministry as they are raising support in these days, and prayer support. Pray for their family. As our brother mentioned just this afternoon, Brother Sam Varghese's father, Miss Becky's grandfather, went to be with the Lord at the ripe young age of 95. And so we bittersweet indeed. He's enjoying glory. But of course the family miss him. So please pray for that family. It's been a good day. We're thankful for the Lord's mercies to us. Please remember Miss Erlene in the morning. Oh, my dear wife, I almost forgot again. She has a gift here to present to Mrs. John. So please, this is something from our ladies. You go ahead. Amen. It's a gift from our ladies' fellowship, so we're happy to pass that along. She almost forgot twice, darling. I'm sorry. Amen. Well, Brother John, would you come, please?
Sing our chorus. It's the chorus of My Redeemer, page 268, if you need the words. Sing, oh sing. Sing, oh sing of My Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. You're dismissed.